worldliness and fleshliness never satisfies, amen? I mean, the tongue is full of poison and evil, and that you can say all you want to, and it will never satisfy. And the freedom that we talk about is only found in Christ. And so I want to help make sure we're on the same page with the Bible about what does it mean to be free? What does it mean to be free to live for God? Those of you who like to take notes, let me give you a couple here just to start us off. Freedom, freedom, first of all, click right on the screen there so I can get the controller there. Freedom. Freedom to live for God. Freedom to live for God. Christ does not give, thank you. Christ does not give freedom to believers so they can do what they want, but so they can for the first time do what God wants. This is what freedom is. Freedom is for the first time ever, I can finally do what God wants. Let me help you here. Let me help you. How many of you are familiar with the Ten Commandments? Anybody ever heard them before? We ever heard them before? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Anybody having trouble keeping that one? Idols. Anybody have any trouble keeping God's name in vain before you got saved? Anybody use God's name wrongly? Anybody use God's name empty? Anybody ever lied before you got saved? Anybody ever coveted something before you got saved? Anybody ever bore false witness, told a lie about somebody? Anybody ever lusted after somebody? Anybody had any trouble keeping God's law and God's commandment before you met Christ? Raise your hand, nod your head, wink at me pretty good there. The Bible says that this freedom, freedom is what? We can finally do what pleases God. We can finally do what pleases God. I meet so many people. I know Jesus, or I've had an experience, or I've been baptized. It means I can do whatever I want. No. Wrong. Freedom, biblical freedom, biblical Christ, Christian freedom is that I can, for the first time ever, do what God wants me to do. And by the way, out of love for Him. Out of love for Him. I want to do this because I love Him and He loves me. That relational kind of love here. Christian freedom. So let me offer you a couple things here. Let me give us a couple ideas, and then we'll be done today. Look at it, first of all. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. I'll run it. For brethren, you've not been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Number one, Christian freedom is not the freedom to sin. Christian freedom is not the freedom of sin. Look at verse 13. For you have not been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. Flesh is not what you got your hand, your bones inside of. Flesh is not what's surrounding or the layer of epidermis and subdermis that's on top of your muscles and your vascular system. Flesh is that part of me that still wants to sin, that part of me that needs to still be redeemed. I've been given a new nature and a new spirit, and I'm thankful. Romans 6 and Romans 7. But I still struggle, and I can still be tempted. Nod your head if you can still be tempted. Nod your head if you still struggle. Nod your head if you still have to ask God to forgive you for some things. Anybody nod your head that way? And God says, this is not, you've not been saved to do whatever you want. You've not been saved to live however you want. Say, nobody preaches this. I got news for you. If you need names and addresses, I can give you names and addresses within driving distance of this building here, where every so often they'll remind everybody, you probably ought not to do this, but because you're a believer, you know, you really can do all kinds of things. There's a church very close to us, basically just preaches fire insurance. And that this is what you want to do, and you just want to go to heaven, and then you do this, and that's a transaction, you move along. Well, that's not what the Bible preaches and teaches at all. The Bible talks about transformation. The Bible talks about if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. The Bible talks about the fact that when we come to Him, we begin to hate sin, what we used to love, and now we love Him and we want to serve Him. And freedom is not my freedom to sin. Not my freedom of sin. Sin invites judgment. Sin invites condemnation. Sin is hurtful. Sin is completely opposite of what God has for us here. He says, don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. The word occasion, we'll see it in just a moment. It's almost the idea of a military stratagem. It goes like this. Well, God has saved me from my sins, and now I've got free pass. No, that's not what freedom is. Let me help you. If that really is the way you think, I got to wonder if you've ever been made free. See, the Son has life. 1 John also says what? If we don't love Him, If we don't love others, how can the love of Christ dwell in us? There is a reciprocity that is there. There are Bible teachers. There's one down in Atlanta who famously said that you can be a Christian Buddhist or you can be a Christian atheist. I still don't understand that one. 5,000-6,000 people in his church. You can be a Christian atheist. You can be a Christian agnostic. No. It's not a freedom to sin. Not a freedom to sin. Christian freedom is not a freedom to sin here. See, when I become a Christian, I become a disciple. Nod your head if you're still listening to me and you can hear disciple. Disciple. Disciple and discipline, the same thing. It's hard to be a disciple without being disciplined. We teach the children. Do we still teach the children? Is anybody in here who works back there? Brandon's not here today. If I get off pitch, help me. Read your Bible, pray every day. Anybody know that one? We need to sing that next week. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll... You don't know that one either? Should have grown up in church. And you grow. And then the opposite verse here. Neglect your Bible, don't ever pray. And then you do the motions, right? Don't ever pray. Kathy's with me. Don't ever pray. Neglect your Bible, don't ever pray, and you'll shrink. That's a pretty good song, but it's mighty good theology, isn't it? Take some discipline. There's a discipline of church attendance, the discipline of Bible reading. There's a discipline of some things. Discipline. See, I had the freedom now to do that. I broke my shoulder, broke my arm, sliced open my knee. I was a passenger automobile accident. My knee was okay. After a while, still hurts. Some of you that see me doing anything athletic, I've got on a brace there. I don't wear it because it looks good. Nod your head if you understand that. I wear it because it hurts some days. Yeah, motorcycle man, he understands. Chuck. I broke my elbow. I still don't have 100% out of it, and I banged up my shoulder. Had shoulder surgery, didn't have shoulder on my elbow. Similar kind of injury what Evan has. I told him, whatever you do, stretch it. I didn't do that. When they finally got me to the point where it was time for rehab, they almost re-broke my arm to get my elbow out. It hurt so bad. I was laying on the bed. I smashed my hand against the cinder block wall beside me really smartly. Almost broke this hand because I was mad about this arm. Now, Adrian, if you think the preacher needs a brain transplant some days. And you know what was a good day? Well, I could pick up a grocery bag and not be in excruciating pain. You know, it was a great day. I could take a barbell and go, and now I have tears running down my eyes. God has not freed you to sin. God has freed you to what? God has freed you so that you what? So that you can finally serve Him and obey Him. Number two. Sorry, up there. Freedom doesn't mean what? I'm not free to hurt other people. I'm not free to hurt other people. Look at the verse again. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 15, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you don't what? Take heed that you're not consumed by it. I'm not free. I'm not free to do this. We talked about this. Some of you were in Bible study earlier here. 1 Thessalonians. What I do with my body affects other people. I don't have liberty. I don't have liberty to hurt other people. I don't have liberty to be jerky to other people. I don't have liberty to be ugly to other people. I don't have liberty to bite and devour other people. I don't have the freedom to do this. Christian freedom says what? Christian freedom says I care about Sam. Christian freedom says I care about essence. Christian freedom says I care about chastity. Christian freedom says I'm not free. I'm not free. I'm not free to steamroll Brandon. I'm not free to do this. I'm not free to do this. We live in a world, by the way, that does what? Statistically, 3 out of every 4 lawyer in the world lives in the United States, in North America. Why? To keep up with all the people who are what? You hurt me, I'll hurt you back. You wounded me, I'll wound you back. Freedom, we're not free to do this. We're not free to do this. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter this. I cut on the news. I got to quit doing this. He arrested a teacher, another teacher who slept with a student. Students, plural. You have an 11-year-old baby. You don't have the freedom to hurt others. Well, I love them. I don't care what words you put in front of that. You don't have the freedom to do that. You don't have the freedom to do that. Well, it's whatever I want and whatever I want to do, and whatever I'm doing these kind of things here. The Bible says, no. Look at it. Give me the slide, please. Freedom doesn't mean we're free to hurt others. There's three words here, three words. The word occasion, the words love and serve, and the words devour. Words occasion, the words love and serve, and the words devour. Words love and serve, and the words devour. The word occasion there means a military stratagem. It means a base of operations. Don't use the fact that you've been forgiven. Now I can get back at all the people that have bothered me. Now I can do whatever I want. Now I can flaunt and do the things I want to do. I was in school with somebody. We've kept in touch through the years and all. And this is their view on life. They use this, and they use this facade of Christianity. I don't know they ever knew Christ to start with, to be honest with you. And they use this military-based kind of idea. And they're just going to get back at anybody that's ever bugged and bothered them. He says, by love, serve one another. The word love there is a word we get agape from, or translated from agape. Selfless, self-sacrificial love. It literally is the love we're incapable of. Preachers like to say that. You need love and agape love. The only way you get anywhere close to agape kind of love or agape love is if God helps you. It is a supernatural. It is not within us to do. The word serve there is the same where we get our word slave from. I am a slave to the love of God. You want freedom? Not your will, but mine. And I finally can do what I'm supposed to do. I can finally serve the way I'm supposed to serve. And I get to do that out of this overflowing heart. He says if you bite and devour, this expression here. The word bite almost always used for snake bites. Anybody in here been bit by a snake? Nobody? A few of you? It hurts, doesn't it? It's crazy hurt. And if it's poisonous, even worse. You feel it, and then the burns, and it's just awful. Even just a little garter snake bite. Anyway, those fangs put you in there. It says that it's the idea of a snake bite. The word devour there. The word devour is like a ravening pack of wolves or animals. If you got snakes and wolves, how many of you think that's a good time? I ain't coming to that party, right? He said, this is how you're going to treat each other. This is how your marriage is. This is how your home life is. This is how you're doing things. He said, it's going to get you. It's a word picture. While you're busy biting and chewing on somebody, somebody else is going to come and bite and chew on you. If you bite and devour one another here, he says, don't do this. Don't do this. This is not your opportunity to hurt other people. Freedom does not do this. It is sacrificial. Literally, it's a pun there. Your freedom is a kind of slavery. What do you mean? Help me. 21, working on 22, right? I said, how many of you think she needs a medal the other day? And everybody stood and cheered and clapped. I'm not doing it anymore. I am free to what? I'm free to serve her. Look right here. I'm free to take care of her. Because I committed to her and we committed to each other. I have expectations. And she has expectations of me. How many of you think if I go home and go, oh man, you're still here? How many of you think that runs real well? How many of you think I've been needing a bed somewhere? Mike, can you help me? How many of you think I get home and I go, man, it's good to see you. Wow. is by love. See, freedom says what? Freedom says this is not a place I can get my battle plans out. I'm going to get this one who hurt me, and I'm going to fix this one who did this, and I'm going to fix this one over here, and I'm going to do this and be jerky at this place at work, and I'm going to do all this kind of, no. It's not an occasion. I get to, because God's love in me, I get to be the slave there of love. And you just remember, because by the way, they got the problem in Galatians, they got the problem in Corinth. This is how you're going to act. You can count on it. It's going to bite and devour you. There's a third thing there. There's another phrase there. I read this. Christian freedom. Is there one there about forgiveness? The offense. I read this in one of my commentaries. The offense is not what destroys a relationship. Oh, so good. It's the inability to forgive. You got people on cable news saying, and so-and-so is going to be put to death tonight, but the family met with him and said, I forgive you for killing our daughter, for killing our son. With terrible school bus accidents here a few years back, and you had parents on there, and they said, I can't believe he was texting on his phone. I can't believe all this, but we forgive him. How do you do that? It is not the size of the offense. It's the ability or inability to forgive. You have freedom. That is supernatural, by the way. Say, forgiveness is easy. You've just never been hurt bad enough. I hear preachers say it takes all of God's love. That's just not true. But I think it takes God's love. I think it takes God's spirit. But that's just people's nature. Again, I just don't think you've ever been hurt bad enough. It says the inability to forgive. Says, how about that? See, I don't have freedom. I don't have freedom to hurt each other, hurt one another. And then lastly, freedom is not about the freedom to ignore God's law. It's a long passage, long idea here. Let me give it to you very quickly and be done here. Look all the way back, verse 15 or verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one phrase, one word. You should love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we call the second great commandment. The first is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second is likened to it. Herein is all the law and the prophets gathered together. It's what Jesus said when responding to that question. See, Christian freedom is not the freedom to ignore God's law. See, what do you mean? The Galatians were having trouble. They were having trouble because they were trying to earn God's forgiveness. I love this. Small crowd, I'll say it. I don't say it because it takes too long to explain. I'm fairly certain, somewhere around 5 years of age, first grade, I was led to Christ. But I'm fairly certain I struggled with that thing until I was about 15. It bothered me so bad as a freshman in college, I'd wake up thinking about it, I'd go to bed thinking about it. December of my freshman year, Christian college, I knelt beside my bunk and said, if I never have, I want to be now. Now, at 46, looking back, I'm fairly certain I wasn't struggling with what God did. I was trying to struggle with what I could do for God. See, freedom says, you don't measure up, but I measure up. And all this law keeping and all this rule keeping and all this jazz and all this defeatism, you are free. Your elbow works now. Shoulder works now. You can run now. You're free. You finally can do what you've been trying to do because I have saved you from your sins. I have paid the penalty of the law. It's not that the law is irrelevant. It's not that the morals of the law. It's not the imperatives of the law. It's not that I don't need to obey the Ten Commandments anymore. It's now God has paid the penalty for my sins. What can wash away my sin? My works? Nope. My goodness? Nope. My this, my that, my giving, my that. No, it is only what Christ did on the cross, dying and shedding his precious blood for my sins and rising again. I am free from the penalty of sin. I'm free from the penalty of sin. For all the laws fulfilled, you love your neighbor as yourself. That's a supernatural thing, isn't it? Does that mean loving people who are kind of jerky? Nod your head. Does that mean loving people are lovable? Nod your head. Does that mean loving people who love you back? Loving people who don't love you back? Loving people who talk bad about you and do all this kind of stuff? I don't know why I keep thinking about family reunions. I've really never been to a really bad family reunion. I've heard lots of horror stories. So we get to do this. We get to do this. So how does it work? How does it work? You're there in your Bibles. Look with me, and I'll be done. Verse 16. Whole different message. Don't have time. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That sounds familiar. That's verse 13. How am I going to live in such a way that pleases God? Walk in the Spirit. How am I going to know what God wants me to do? Has God told me what He wants me to do? Absolutely, in the Bible. If I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I'm going to have to be in the Word of God. I'm going to have it taught to me. I'm going to have to read it. I'm going to have to be in it. I'm going to have to dig in it. People say, I want to please God, but they never pick up this book. You can't please God if you don't know what He's telling you to do. Get up early. Take your lunch break. Those of you second and third shifters, find the time and be in there. God, what do you want me to do? And when you take in God's word and you're a believer, then God's Spirit's saying, you need to do this, you need to stop doing this, you need to do this, you need to stop doing this. And God begins to work in our hearts and our lives. Commentary on Galatians, one writer said, then our new lives are ordered this way. They're ordered by purity. Our freedom is characterized by purity. How many of you think it takes more effort to be pure? Anybody besides me? I mean, it takes more effort not to curse than it does to curse. I mean, it takes more effort not to look at porn than it does to look at porn. I mean, it takes more effort to be faithful to God and be faithful to His house and to be faithful and take care of your body and all those kind of things and keep your body from sin. I mean, it takes more effort. I have the freedom now to be pure. Wait for it. I have the freedom to love other people. Herein is all the law. It's your love. My youth pastor, I was thinking about him Friday, and my old youth pastor, Fred's got to be close to 70. Hopefully I'll be able to have him in the fall. He's still traveling. I'd love for y'all to meet him. Spent the night at his house. He loved me. He taught me to be a soul winner. Told him I loved him. I was praying for him, and he said, I want to come see you. I said, I want you to come see me. He sent me a text. Then he sent me some emojis. My almost 70-year-old youth pastor, he's not a youth pastor, he sent me emojis. I didn't have the heart to reply back and say, I don't understand what these are. Please explain them to me. I'm hopeful he just hit the wrong button on his phone. How many of you think that's what he did? He sent me a picture of a son wearing glasses. I'm assuming that means either he thinks I'm hot, he views me as a hot son, or it was hot there, or he had a small stroke in his thumb. I don't know what it was. I put the phone down. Andrea walked in. I said, Fred just sent me a text with the emojis. Jesus is coming soon. And my 70-year-old youth pastor, I laughed. I'm glad God put in his heart to love others. I don't think I'd be in the ministry today. I don't think I'd know Christ like I know him today. I know I wouldn't have gone to Christian college. So our new lives can be ordered this way, and we obey God's word. We obey God's word. His commandments are not what? Yeah, they're not grievous anymore. If I know Andrea doesn't like something and I keep doing it, that is not a way to show my love to her. Nod your head, husbands and men in here. If, however, I know she likes something, loves something, and I do that for her, then I get to do what? Man, I know. Jesus has said what? You have the freedom to obey my word. Say, Christian freedoms, I can do this, I can sleep with this one, I can do that, I can go here, I can go there, I can listen to this, I can watch that, I know where all that came from. It didn't come from here, though. The Bible says Christian freedom does not mean, one, you're free to sin. Nowhere close. Truth of the matter is, he talks about people acting like reprobates at the end of chapter 4. Number two, I'm not free to hurt others. I'm just not. By the way, that's a supernatural thing. And number three, freedom is not that I can hurt others, but freedom simply means that I get to do what? I don't get to ignore God's word. I get to obey it. For all our talk of freedom, I don't think we're any more free. I know we're not any more free. For all that's going on, for all the this rights movement and that right, we're just not any more free. You're only free in Christ. And that freedom looks like a lot of things. I gave you some of the things it's not. You want to be free in Christ? Walk in the Spirit. Take the Word of God in. Let the Spirit of God teach it to you. Use it in your heart and life. And then watch as it blossoms in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no law. This is exactly what God wants you to do. Say, I don't have that in my heart and life. Look at me, I'm done. Then I ask you, have you ever had an experience with Jesus Christ? Have you ever had a relationship with Him? Have you ever confessed your sins and said, Jesus, I want you on? If you have, and you're struggling here, I want to encourage you today, if you're struggling, to come and ask God to help you. Maybe you're here and you're not sure if you've ever been born again. I want to ask you today, make sure that you know that Jesus is your Savior. And if you're here and you, by the way, struggle in some of those areas, remember, God has given you exactly what you need to be free and to live for Him. Pray with me right now. Our heads are bowed.